If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And our plan tonight is, our topic for tonight is prayer and prophecy. And I would like to speak along with, followed by Brother Naveen and Brother Bill. I'm going to speak about prayer and about having faith in God, which we sang about already. And I'd like to, for my part, share two stories in the Old Testament that would point us towards prayer. So this first one is very short. It's in 1 Chronicles 4, and it starts in verse 9, and it finishes in verse 10. So it's only two verses long. The first eight verses of this chapter is the genealogy of the sons of Judah. Different men descended from Judah, who was one of the 12 patriarchs. And in the midst of that genealogy, it inserts this very short story, starting in verse 9, about a man named Jabez. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. It's interesting, it doesn't tell us who his brothers were. It doesn't tell us who his father was. It doesn't tell us who his mother was. He's just here in the middle of this sequence. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The name Jabez, in the way it was pronounced, was very similar to the Hebrew word or Jewish word for pain. So how would you like to be named with a name that brings the word pain to mind? That's what his name was like. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, so that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not hurt me. And some translations say, so that I will not cause pain. And another translation of that word pain is sorrow. It says his mother named him sorrow, because she bore him in sorrow. Now, we don't know why she bore him in sorrow. Was it just the pain of childbirth that she was referring to? Or was she widowed and giving birth to a child that would have no father? It's unusual for a Jewish genealogy to not include the name of the father. So we don't know anything about Jabez's father. He may have grown up without his father's influence. And he cried out to the Lord. He said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. So I don't know what were the constraints in his life, but he felt that his life was constrained, and that you would keep me from harm, that it wouldn't hurt me. But the other translation I like better is to keep me from causing pain. That's a good desire, that I don't want to cause pain because my background was painful. There are many, many people who have a painful background. I meet them in prison, but I meet them outside of prison as well. And it's very common. There's a saying we have in English that says, hurting people hurt people. And Jabez doesn't want to hurt people. And he says that you would bless me. Do you know that God wants to bless you? I'm not talking about give you a Cadillac or lots of money. Or people laugh about Cadillacs now. There's some other car, they a BMW or whatever. But the real greatest blessings in life are not material blessings. They're not fancy house, fancy job, lots of money. The greatest blessings are to have God's blessing, that may be taken in the form of family, quite often is. It may be in the form of fellowship with friends or fellowship in the body of Christ. There are people who have lost everything and gone on to be a tremendous blessing to others. I heard the story of a woman who went through tremendous suffering in Somalia and was widowed. Her husband was killed, and she was in sorrow, and she was hopeless in many ways. And then somehow the thought came to her, there are other widows around me who suffered the same thing I did. And she began to reach out to them, and she has helped many people heal as well as God has healed her. Her life has become a blessing. The greatest blessing is to be a blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so when Jabez said, "Oh, that you would bless me," that word "oh" means that he didn't say it in a dispassionate way. He said, "Oh, that you would bless me." And God did. He enlarged his border and kept him from causing harm. We don't know how the details of it. We're not told. So that's the first story I wanted you to think of. The second story about someone who cried out to the Lord is in 1 Samuel. It's the story of Hannah, if you'll turn there with me. This is a story, I don't plan to read all of it because it goes for really two chapters. But the first chapter tells us that Hannah was married in a marriage that had two wives and one husband, which is not a recommended thing, but it was a practice thing in ancient times. And her rival wife provoked her to trouble and anxiety and pain and sorrow because Hannah had no children, but Penina had children. And so her husband, Elkanah, tried to comfort Hannah. He said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep?" In verse 8, "Why don't you eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" What do you think? What's the answer to that? Was Elkanah more to her than 10 sons? God doesn't give us that choice, but I think she would have said, "I love you, but I want I want God to open my life up and make me a mother." And it says in verse 9, "After they'd eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give to your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.'" That was, she was going to devote him to the Lord as a Nazarite. "As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. So Eli took her to be drunk. Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you.' But Hannah answered, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman sorely troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Don't regard your maidservant as a wicked woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation.'" So Hannah was speaking to the Lord out of the trouble of her heart. I want to encourage you that if your heart is troubled, pour out your heart to the Lord. That's what Hannah did. And take the time to go to him and tell him everything, and then expect that God will look on that with compassion, because that's the way the Lord is. There are two verses in Scripture that speak about a broken heart. There's probably more than two, but one is in Psalm 51. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise. That's speaking about you're troubled over your sins. In Psalm 34, I think verse 18, it says, the Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart. So you may have a broken heart, and when you have a broken heart, pour out your heart to the Lord. Tell the Lord everything. Seek him, and then wait for him. Then Eli answered, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have made to him. Now, Eli was not the best priest that Israel ever had. He was a failure in many ways, but he had a position as priest. And when he said to her, God of Israel, grant your petition, she reacted this way. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate, and her countenance was no longer sad. That showed that Hannah received that word, and she no longer was fasting, and she was no longer sad. One of the things that we were taught on not too long ago was about fasting. Fasting is a way of afflicting your heart and quieting your soul to hear from God. And so when Hannah stopped fasting, she was saying, I've received what the Lord said through Eli, as God's going to take care of it. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through a really, really hard trial, come through to the faith that God's going to take care of it. You might not know how, but have the faith that God is going to take care of it. And what came out of this is that, it says in verse 20, in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Samuel, for I have asked him of the Lord. Asked of the Lord, that's the meaning of Samuel. What have you asked of the Lord? Ask of the Lord. The Lord likes when his children ask. Jesus encouraged that. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. A lot of times we have unbelief in our hearts. God wants to take that away, that we turn to him and expect our answer to come from him. And then if you read further into chapter 2, she takes Samuel and brings him to live in the temple, and God gives her more children. And she has a tremendous prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord just before that. And actually, her prayer of thanksgiving in chapter 2 is woven into the prayer that Mary prayed when she was told she would be the mother of our Lord. And she exulted. It's called Mary's exaltation. Mary quoted from what Hannah said. And the Lord gave verse 21 of chapter 2. The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. So God gave her one, and she gave him to the Lord, and the Lord gave her five more. And God is generous. God is not stingy. And we see this with Solomon. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and riches and honor and blessings. And may you know that God is good and he loves you. And you come to him, pour out your heart before him, and he will meet you in your trial. That last song we sang, I've had many tears and sorrows, I have questions, I've had trials. And we all have trials, and God uses those trials so that we would get to be closer to him and learn what he wants us to know. Amen. Brother Naveen.